Welcome to another episode of Living an Altar Life. This week, I have got a guest that I'm really excited about. I see this guy out there at every race, and I know you guys will know exactly who I'm talking about. He's not running, but he's doing things that cements this in our memories forever. And this is just an exciting dude who I see at a lot of ultra marathons down in North Carolina. And I cannot wait to have this conversation with Mr. Dan Page. Dan, you ready to go for a run?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
All right. Awesome. Well, Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, family, all that good stuff. And then we'll jump into what you do so magnificently.
Well, I thank you very much. And I do appreciate that. I think you definitely gave me credit for more than, you know, I'm due, but I do appreciate that. Just to introduce myself, Dan Page. My wife and my family and I have lived in North Carolina since 2012. We were in the Army, and we moved out here back then in the Army, and we were stationed out here for until I retired out here a couple years ago. So we've traveled around the country, and we've got to, you know, to participate in ultras. We kind of got into the sport of running out in Washington State, and then eventually moved out here to North Carolina. And I remember when we moved out here, we were like, you know, thinking it was going to be a big change. Like, wow, you know, Washington is such a huge state for running. What are we going to have out here? And we got here to North Carolina, and I swear we were just blown away because it was just as big, if not bigger. Since moving here in North Carolina, we've just fell in love with the sport even more and just kind of started off, you know, as a runner. And then eventually my wife and I got into race directing for a while, and we still somewhat do that on light end. We put a fat ass on, but mainly my main focus now is kind of shifted away from running and race directing and more so into kind of capturing the sport, both in photo and video. So just kind of, you know, trying to record memories and just kind of, you can look back on these moments out there when you're out there on the trail or the road or whatnot. And just kind of look back and remember some of these, you know, great times that you had as a runner or as a race director or as just a crew or volunteer, you know?
That's awesome. I love it. And I love seeing you out there all the time. I did not realize until recently that you're a runner also.
Yeah, it's been a little bit. So I definitely got into ultra running into as kind of like as the almost as my wife said, I couldn't basically just because I was a road runner and injured my knee and was seeing all these cool trail runners out in Washington State. And I wanted to do it. And she said, you can't do it. You got bad knees. And so I tried doing a 50K and I think it took like 10 hours. It was a miraculous failure, but I finished and fell in love with it since then. So I, you know, got in, did some 100, but I think last 100 attempt I had was probably about 3 years ago. So it's been a little bit, but with that being said, I still like, that's one of the great things about video and photo is I'm still able to hang out with all my friends that I developed over the years and still getting a good amount of miles, but you know, it's not this, you're not having to put your body through the 100 miles or the 24 hours, for instance.
There you go. So what was the last 100 that you tried?
Last one I tried was out in, it was Bighorn 100 out
Oh
in
my
Wyoming
gosh.
and Montana. It's a beautiful
Isn't that the
100.
most beautiful race in the world?
It is just so scenic. It is almost mind blowing. So, yeah, it is so many, and it's varied scenic. Like you have these different, you know, you have your dry sections and you have your wooded sections and you have your steep mountainous sections. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, my wife and I lived in Sheridan, Wyoming for 7 years. And so before we moved back out to Virginia in 2020, so Bighorn is, I call the Bighorn Mountains mine. So
Yep.
I don't know if anybody actually owns them, but I do now. So yeah, they're just the most iconic mountains. I tell people, you know, the Rocky Mountains are majestic, you know, the mountains, California and Washington, Oregon, they're just so majestic. And the Bighorn Mountains are these mountains. They don't look all that threatening. They're like, come on up and play. And then they just kill your dreams. So
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. So it's awesome. So that's exciting. Yeah. Bighorn's a beast. 3 years ago, that was a mud year too.
Oh yeah, I remember, you know, being caked in mud and being at the. I made it to the turnaround, you know, and Just be everybody's huddled up, you know, because it's cold, of course, up there up top, and everybody's huddled up and muddy and cold, and it's just it was a miraculous failure, but it was definitely a memory that I won't forget. Me and a couple buddies tried it, and we all failed, but it was a fun failure, so.
I was gonna say, you failed together and it was fun. That's what makes it awesome. And
Yeah.
does your wife still run?
So she hasn't been running lately. She's done a 50K before and a couple other races definitely, but she's been so busy with work lately. Both me and her really kind of haven't been able to run. We still put on, we race direct the Yuari Marathon, which is a free marathon in March every year. So me and her put that on, and then we still are heavily involved with just on the volunteering side with Yuari 100 because you know, me and her originally had started that a little bit over 10 years ago, and we kind of passed luck got lucky and passed it on to two great people, but we still do kind of participate and volunteer in it.
Wait a second. You started Yuari?
Well, I got lucky. I want to say I started. I would say my wife and I, along with some great individuals out there that we got lucky to meet, started Yuari. Yeah, so but yeah, we started Yuari back in well late 2013, early 2014.
Oh my
We
gosh, I did
Yeah.
not know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's
Wow.
kind of what that's really what got me into video, truthfully, was we hired a great videographer for Yuari, and it was just I just probably watched the race video probably 100 times after the race, and it just like I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I like the way he did that, or maybe I would do something different. He inspired me to want to do it, basically, is what it was. So it was pretty cool.
Okay. Now, with the photography and videography, did you have like any formal training for that, or did you just kind of pick it up as a hobby? Where did this come from?
Yeah, it's all picked up as a hobby. It's kind of started. I just really was interested in trying to record different running adventures and stuff like that as just a runner. And then when we kicked off Yuari, I wanted to kind of be able to showcase some of the training runs we would do. So I would film out there. And then eventually, where I got my first actual real start was with Lisa McFadden out in Cape Fear. And it was with her first year putting the event on in 2018. And my friend and I, we went out there. We had no clue what we were doing, but we filmed the entire, you know, 24 hours. And we had so much footage that was just horrible and unusable, but we did it enough, and we put in enough effort that we still are able to put out, you know, put out, make a decent product. And that's kind of what got us started. So got me started
That's
at least.
amazing. That is amazing. Now, are you still race directing? Is it the North Carolina Fat Ass that you do?
Nope. So we put on. So Mark Long puts on the NC Fat Ass.
Okay.
My wife and I put on the Yuari Marathon. So
Okay.
it's a second week of March, and it runs on pretty much the same as the 100 miler course with a little bit of additional trail that takes you north of that section.
Cool. Cool. I have yet to run Yuari, but Emily Lyons is still trying to talk me into it. And I'm just like, it just sounds like a beast. So.
Well, the marathon is a great intro to it because it's a 10-hour cutoff, so it's pretty lenient. But another options is they do Ryan and Megan. They're the race directors for Yuari 100, and they do training runs, and those are good options too. They put out like supported training runs throughout the year, and those are good ones where you can do like a half a loop, and that's only like 13 miles or 12 miles, and
Okay.
or 20 miles. So there it's some good options.
Okay. Cool. Cool. All right, so let's jump back into the photography, 'cause it seeing your finished product, I thought for sure you were professionally trained, because you capture such iconic photos and video. How is it just because you've been out there doing it a lot, or how did you develop just this knack for getting in the right angle at the right place at the right time?
You know, I think it's a lot of fail. It's been a lot of failure, you know, a lot of failing at it in the past, a lot of just getting out and doing it and just trying it and you know, realizing what works and what doesn't work. That's really what it is. Because I can tell you can look back at, you know, some of my earlier videos when I started in maybe 2017 or 16 or even 18 and 19, and you can definitely just see the progress as it's just as with anything in life, you know, as with running, the more work you put into it, it's just natural. It's just regardless of natural skill, the more work you put into it, you're gonna probably improve upon it if you're putting into that practice, you know?
That is so true. That is so true. So when you're out looking to shoot, what are you looking for, Dan?
So that's a tough call. You know, one of the things I try and avoid, and I know this is going to kind of sound weird, but this one of the things that's always in the back of my head when I'm filming, and I don't want people to, you know, I want to portray the runner or the volunteer, or the crew or the race director, of course, the best that I can. But I also want to make them, I don't want to catch them. I kind of want to catch them in their natural environment, you know? So that's the hard part is you want to kind of step back from the environment if you can. That way you can catch them while really just kind of catch them in their natural environment, acting natural, basically. And that's
It's to
hard to
that
do.
posed picture, right?
Exactly. And that's the hard thing, you know. And you know, sometimes people will see you and they'll instantly go to, you know, a smile and a thumb, and there's nothing wrong with that. But some of the best pictures are people where they're just digging in the, you know, just the hard, they're just going through the hard part of the race, and they're just grit, you know, just they don't even have a smile. They just got the grueling look on their face, but those are the best pictures because you can see the realism in them, you know?
Yeah, which is true because I think those are some of my favorite pictures, the ones that you take where it's not this, the person leaping in the air as if we have enough energy to leap in the air when we're running an ultramarathon. I always look at those and go, wow, where did you find the enough energy to leap in the air? But I love the ones that show that person just out there grinding and just working their tails off to get to the finish line. I think that's a great capture of what ultra running is all about.
I agree, and I kind of try and look at it as a runner, like what I would want to see as a picture and as a video. I look at it I do look at it as a race director. You know, hey, like, you know, because as I know, as a race director, at least myself, I always love looking back at pictures and reliving the event, basically. So I want to be able to kind of enable them to be able to do that and kind of look back at some quality pictures or video, and then. Also, you know, not just from a runner, we also have to keep in mind that it's not just a two-part equation out there. There's also the volunteers and crew that are just as much of a part of the equation out there, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's one of the things you do very well is capture the entire environment, not just, the people out there running, because you're right, there are a lot of people that are out there serving and making these races happen. So that's very cool that you do that. So how difficult is it at Cape Fear to capture those kind of moments where people are in their natural environment? Because it would seem like they see you for a long time coming.
It is. And you know, and that's one of the things is each race is going to have its challenges. And that's like, for instance, Cape Fear is you can, it's so open as far as you can see. You'll be able to see me coming pretty much regardless where I'm at on the course for a good distance. And then other ones where I literally sometimes surprise runners where they scream out because you know, I'm coming around a corner and stuff. So I'm trying to avoid that. But with Cape Fear, you know, each one presents its challenges. But what I come to see is eventually, you know, people just become used to you know, especially in a race like that where it's 24 hours. The first few loops, but you know, they're going to be out there and they're going to be maybe tense as they're coming by you or maybe their poses may be a little more staged. But eventually, you start grinding away out there for, you know, a good 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours in a 24-hour event. You'll start to get some real natural poses coming up pretty quickly because they're just not going to have the energy to make those, you know?
Exactly. I have enough energy. You're talking about me now, aren't you? I have
Yeah.
enough energy to put one foot in front of the other, and that's about it. So that's awesome. So I ran Tideland 24 for the first time this year, and I thought one of the most iconic parts that I'll always remember of it, and I'm so glad you captured it, was the flag leading out across the bridge on the first lap. Where were
Yeah.
you?
So I got lucky. Jason, you know, the race director, he had asked me to go out there because, you know, each year he pretty much asked me to go out there because we know the sun is going to be coming up right over that bridge. So I was basically on about the second bridge that you come across, and I was about three quarters of the way down, and the sun just happens to crest right over those trees right as those runners are coming around 8 o'clock. And I got lucky because, to be honest, in the past, I haven't been able to nail the exposure right there, or maybe the sun hasn't been there with the clouds or whatever reason. The pictures have turned out okay, but I've never gotten it like this year. The sun was just right. The runners were just spaced perfectly apart. It just, man, I hate to say,
That was awesome.
yeah, it really was. I was really happy. I'm not gonna lie, that was probably my best picture I've taken in a while, so it was
Right,
good.
right. Well, you had two because you also captured the sunset.
Oh yeah, there was a few of those too.
That was phenomenal. I was the one who went by you and was like, "Oh, God, I can't believe I didn't bring my camera." But see, I didn't have to because you captured it for me.
Yeah, Thailand, each race has its own, great things about it, but man, Thailand has to be about one of the most scenic courses out there in North Carolina. There's a lot of great ones, but Thailand is so beautiful.
Yeah, I loved it. For the first time going out there, I was like, oh my gosh. So next year, I'm told my wife, I said, next year I'm going down. I'm going to go down not having run a really, really competitive one 3 weeks beforehand so I can just give it the full 24 hours that it deserves. Because that's just such a beautiful course. I can't imagine, the sunrise in the morning after, being out there for, 24 hours. So neat race.
Yeah.
So, what are some of the other races that you do?
There's a couple of them out in, definitely fall is my busy time. I've videoed a few like Black Mountain Ultra Traverse, great
Okay.
race out in the Black Mountains, Mount Mitchell, Lake Norman 50K. I've filmed them before. A great race, which I think actually may not be going on again this year, is Boogie 50 Miler. I usually go there every
I
year.
heard it's not going on anymore.
Yeah, so
I get
but
it.
there
That's a hard one to put on.
yeah, but it's a great race, and I think one of my earlier videos I ever did, and I still one of the ones that I'm proud of the most was probably Boogie's 25th year anniversary video they did,
Oh, cool.
and it was probably about 5 or 6 years ago, and being able to document that, and because it's just it's for a race to be able to go on 30 years in North Carolina, it's a long time, so.
That is a very long time. That's amazing. Wow. I
Yeah.
did not really realize Boogie had been around that long. That's
Yeah.
incredible. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
So do you go back to Yuwari every year and do
oh
photography
yeah.
there?
Oh yeah, definitely. And this past year was great because I had the opportunity to not only so I got to work alongside a actual professional photographer, a little bit more actual school than I am.
Okay.
Ruben, I'll probably mess up his last name, but Ruben Cosme or C Cosme. He was phenomenal. It was great working alongside him, and I learned a lot. It was great because he focused primarily on photo while he was there, or mainly on photo, and I focused on video. And so the two of us working alongside each other, it was the first time that I really got to tag team basically on a job like that. It was really nice.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So what other races do you have coming up?
Not too much right now. I'm actually looking forward to I'm kind of got a few things kind of reaching out to a few folks that I was looking at. We actually just moved 3 4 months ago. We moved from we used to live up near Lisa near Sanford area, and we moved kind of out towards Wilmington a little bit.
Okay.
So I kind of got to get myself associated with the local races out here. Of course, I'm still gonna associate with all the races that out near Raleigh and Sanford and Uwari and all those areas too that I'm used to, but yeah, I still kind of I'm looking to expand to some of the maybe races out here in the Wilmington area that I haven't
Okay.
kind of gone out here before just due to distance, but now I'm a little bit closer, so
That's
but
awesome. Well, you'll have to, get up with Emily. I think she runs them all.
oh yeah, I know we were talking, and in fact when we were moving I was in talks with Emily about different places to move to and stuff, so
Cool. Cool.
yeah.
Yeah, she's one of the best. I love her and Stu out there. They're just amazing folks.
Yeah, I got the opportunity. I met Emily. It was just before she had run, definitely before she had run 100, but she had just gotten into ultras, and she came out of the blue, volunteered to crew or pace and crew about a friend of mine out at Cruel Jewel 100. And me and her, we crewed him and volunteered him, or we crewed him and paced him the whole distance. And that's really where I first got to meet her. And it's just amazing that she was willing to just volunteer her time, didn't even know neither me or him, and just went out there and just got him across the finish line. So it was great.
That sounds like Emily. Yeah,
Yep.
that's the Emily we all know. So all know and love. She's amazing. So that is great. So Dan, I mean, just the whole photography and videography, did you ever think that you would wander into this as and be doing this as often as you do?
Once I met, linked up with that first, like I said, when we were putting Yuari on and we linked up with that first videographer that we hired to come out there, and we hired a photographer to come out too, but really sitting down with him and talking with him and his dad, that they were kind of a team, really inspired me to get into this. So I really think since probably about 2015, 2016, in the back of my head, I kind of was like, this is something that really I really enjoy. I think one of the things that I enjoy the most about it, and I always tell this to the race director, is it's cool to be out there at the event filming, and that is fun, and that's definitely 50% of the fun. But the other 50% of the fun that people don't realize is I get to go home after the event and I get to relive all those memories, because I get to edit it and try and put it into something that, as a
Wow.
so that's one of the parts that I enjoy is the most, is it's not just about the event, but it's, the editing process is just as much after the fact,
That's amazing. So, like, I was watching your video, both the one you did on Cape Fear and Tideland. So, how many hours of video editing do you put into those to get the finished product? Because that seems like a lot of work.
It's different with each race, but it's nothing for, for a 24-hour event like Cape Fear or Thailand, a good 2 days of editing, and that's probably about 8 to 10 hours a day of editing each day. So I'd
Wow.
say for a 24-hour event, to get it down to about a, say, an 8 to a 12 minute video, that's probably a good 2 days of editing.
That's amazing. So are you taking like all these individual shorter videos that you've shot and then do you like put them all together and then edit them down? What does that process look like?
Yeah, so my process basically is, of course, I'll record everything on throughout the race day. When I get back, I'll go ahead and I'm going to go through each clip, and I'll basically, all the clips that look like they have something that's usable, I'll favorite them. And so I'll go through, if I got 300 clips, I'll go through 300 clips. I might only have 200 that are usable. Then, now that I have those 200 favorited, I can now go back in and try and tell a story. I try and look back at the race, how the race took place, and who was in the lead at the front, who was, maybe struggling at the beginning and then picked it up at the end, or however the race went out. That's, I'll try and tell that story, and I'll normally kind of throw them, I'll take the usable clips and kind of continue to put them in the timeline basically, and then throughout the day I'll go through and shrink them down, delete them, maybe add them back in. Maybe, a lot of changing, changing your mind. One of the great things, I think, with any type of art is taking a step back frequently. So, work for 2, 3 hours and then take a step back, and you kind of reassess. But, when I first started doing this, when that first year with Lisa, say if I had 400 clips from that 24 hours, I bet you I was lucky if I maybe had 50 good clips.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
But nowadays, if I would shoot that, 400 clips, I might get 300 or 350 good clips. So that's one of the
Wow.
good things, is over time, and they're not all good clips. Some of them are horrible. You're like, how, that was a horrible shot that I did. But it's slowly over time, it's getting to the point where you can get more consistent.
Right. So it what's your favorite environment, like, trails or road to do your photographing and videoing on.
I think definitely trail. I think one of the great things about trail is you can really get off the trail. So the runners themselves, of course, are coming up the trail, but you can position yourself behind a boulder, behind a tree, that where you can, one, incorporate that what the natural environment that the runners are going through into the shot, but also you can almost hide behind those natural obstructions that the runners are going to be going over, and kind of make yourself part of the shot. So I without a doubt, I do enjoy trail, but I also, I know there's a place for road and there's a place for track and stuff like that too. So
Yeah. All right, so funniest thing that's ever happened to you out doing the photo and video stuff.
Oh boy. So I won't say the race because I don't want to identify the runner because it might be embarrassing to them. But this was after a 50K race. A second place runner was running in across the finish line, and was just behind the first place runner. It wasn't that far of a distance. And the race director tried to give him a fist bump. He ran right by, didn't fist bump the race director. The wife was there, tried to give him a hug, he ran right by him. And as soon as he ran right by the wife, just projectile vomited in front of everybody. And that was one moment where, that's one of those moments where that would have been a great shot, but I didn't have the nerve to go ahead and, keep recording, basically.
The fact
So,
that you thought that would have been a great shot is awesome. A
yeah. So
true
that was.
ultra runner, only a true ultra runner would go, man, that would have made a great shot.
But I do think that there's a lot of situations where you surprise runners. Just that Tideland, I think I felt horrible. I surprised the heck out of a girl in the middle of the night, and she was on a trail, and luckily she was with like four other runners, and so they laughed about it, but it's
Yeah,
funny.
that's awesome. Okay, so weirdest thing you've ever seen out doing your stuff.
Oh man, that's a tough one. Let me think. Weirdest thing I've ever seen. No, that's not even weird. I'll say it out of Tideland. I was walking behind a lady at the bridge and her headlamp fell off into the water. But that's not
Oh,
weird. That's so funny.
that's so sad.
No, I can't, honestly, I hate to say it, but I can't think of something off the top of my head. Weird. I can think of definitely some weird things while running and stuff like that, but
Right.
as far as filming, no, I can't.
Okay.
I've been pretty. It's been pretty. I want to say stable out there while filming, but I've definitely come into some wilder things while running. So, but
Oh, I haven't. Yeah, haven't we?
hey,
Any creature contacts?
creature contacts? Yes.
Yeah.
Just out of Thailand, ran and had a deer across the trail. Some deers across the trail. Had a boar. Ran into a boar hiking with camera gear and everything out at UR. He scared the heck out of me. Not a
Oh
boar.
my
I guess you'd
gosh.
probably call it a pig. A
Like a
wild
wild
pig.
pig, right? Wow.
Yeah. So, but that was no bighorn. I had some. But that was running. Moose or whatever. Out there.
Elk?
Whatever the yeah,
Oh
elk.
yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Elk and
That's it.
moose. Yeah. You can run into
Yeah.
both of them on bighorn.
Yeah, but no, not out here in North Carolina. I haven't been, of course, snakes and stuff like that all day long. And I
Yeah.
look for, I don't want to say I look forward to it, but I would, it's just nice to be able to document just wildlife. So that would be great to run into. Deer are a little tough because they're quick to get across the trail to catch, but something like a snake, it'd be nice to document it, and
Well, you
so.
know, you'll have to stick with me next time at Tideland, because if there are snakes to be found, I will find them. For some reason, I hate snakes, but they like me, so I don't know what it is. Nobody else encounters a snake, and I have a black snake slither across the trail in front of me, and I'm like, "Did you not just see the black snake? Just the tip of it?" And I'm like, "He just like crossed right in front of me." And this was at Tideland this year. And I'm like, nobody else had a black snake go in front of them except for me. So, yeah. So if you ever want a snake, just hang with me. You'll see the snakes.
Okay, well, next time I'll definitely have to keep an eye out next time I see you come around the trail. I was definitely thinking about them because I was, at Tideland, I was kind of trying to step off the trail to get a little bit further off the trail, and I know they're there, but just trying to keep an eye out for them,
There you go. Dream race you'd love to go out and video and photo.
Dream race. I have to. I've heard so many great things, and I've never been out there. But probably Bear 100. I've heard
Okay.
such a beautiful. Everybody who I've known who's ever run it has said it's been one of the most iconic races. I've paced Wasatch before, and I know that's it's not in the same area, but it's somewhat of the same mountain chain. So, but it's a little bit later in the fall, so I think the colors of the leaves would be a little bit better,
Yeah, I think bear would be beautiful because that's right as everything's turning colors. That would be amazing.
Yeah, so that's one. Another one, I've already filmed it, but it's a tough race to film just because it's somewhat of a the Black Mountain Ultra Traverse here in North Carolina. It's very similar to Bear as far as by that I mean it is right when all the leaves are turning. So
Really?
it is specifically timed to basically give you the most scenic leaf coloring. And I'm sure they time it for other reasons too, but that literally is that week. It is the leaves are the most changed there, and it's really a pretty race. The thing that makes it difficult to film is it's a unsupported 50-mile pretty much loop, and so to catch the lead runners, say at one point, it's difficult to maybe catch the trail runners because if you don't stick with the lead pack, you're by the time you caught the trail runners, the lead pack is already going to have finished. So
Right.
it's a challenging race to film and record capture solo, but it really is a pretty race. I'd say it's probably the most scenic race I've filmed here in North Carolina. Yeah, I'd like to go back
Wow.
there. They've had 2 bad years with hurricanes. They've had to,
Right.
the course this year, and then 2 years ago they had to postpone it because of a hurricane too. So they've had some bad luck with
Okay.
hurricanes.
Were you at Uwari? Was it 2 years ago when the brain just never stopped.
Yeah, that was so me and my wife were actually we were still directing it at that time, and I always joke with people that a tropical storm almost caused me to get divorced.
Oh my gosh.
It was that much of a challenge to keep the race going. It was really challenging with all that water and everything. Our timing mats were floating.
Oh my
It was ridiculous,
gosh.
but hey, credit on those timing mats. They still kept recording the entire time. So big on
Get
them.
out of it. They were floating and they still recorded?
I mean, it was only talking like an inch or so, but inch or
But
two of
still,
water. But yeah,
that's
I mean, they were,
awesome.
yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I heard that one that there were runners who were considering building an ark.
Yeah, we had the lead three run the three first place runners dropped, and all three of them were saying, "Hey, you need to think about canceling the race. You need to think about canceling the race." And we strongly did think about it. But as we would talk to runners, other runners, and we'd ask them their thoughts, we kind of got their take too, and we decided to keep it going. And thankful we did because the rain did stop as morning approached, and it ended up being a real pretty day the second day. But man,
Awesome.
that first night was tough.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard that was a rough year. So, yeah. Cool. Well, awesome. So Dan, other thoughts on, what it takes for somebody to, get out there and do what you're doing on the ultra marathons? Is there something that you do to keep yourself in shape so that you're able to get out? Because you've got to cover a lot of miles.
Honestly, I look at it as almost as if I'm doing the event. So, I mean, by no means do I have to be as a shape as a runner, but to be out there for 36 hours or a 24-hour event, on the shorter distances, maybe it's not as bad. But if you're out on a 20-mile course or even on like a 10-mile course, you just got to make sure that you have the endurance. So I do try and plan out my hydration. I try and plan out, my foot care and stuff like that. I still wear tights, that would make sure I prevent chafing and all that other stuff. So I still treat it like I'm a runner, just because I know that if you don't, you're gonna get chafing or you're gonna get blisters if you're out there for 24 hours. So it's yeah, you're not out there running, but you do still experience a lot of the same problems that runners are gonna experience for being on their feet for that long.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So, do you carry a hydration pack with you, or?
A lot of times I don't, especially on the shorter courses. But yeah, on the longer courses, without a doubt, definitely carry a hydration pack or at least a water bottle.
Yeah, I would imagine you are. You'd almost have to carry a hydration pack, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it definitely helps. I carry a water bottle with me and, extra clothing and all that other stuff.
Wow. So basically, you're prepping the same as the runners are.
In a way, yeah, a little bit differently, but yeah, definitely they got you. They have their own equipment, and we have, of course, I have, with camera, with photography and video, you have your own equipment, so you got to kind of look at that. One of the great things about ultra running is, it's kind of just a big exercise in problem solving, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. And it's kind of the same in video and photo. It's just you're trying to figure out what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Right. And how much equipment do you carry?
So I'm more on the lighter side, I think, compared to, for example, other photographers, just because I'm still kind of building my gear setup. But I normally carry one main camera that I'm, and then I'm also carrying in some type of action camera, like a GoPro or something like that. So, and each one serves its purpose. You know, my Sony camera is definitely has significantly better quality than the action camera, but. With that being said, the action camera can get in places that the Sony camera can't get in, and so there are some shots that are definitely, you know, you can use a, you don't need to use a $5,000 camera, you know, you can use there's some great, the technology has come so far nowadays that some of the entry level cameras now are able to get just incredible shots. So
Right.
it's great. It really we really are in a golden age of technology. I remember when I bought my camera, I was amazed because it was Netflix approved. Like you could use that, you could film on it and record a film, and Netflix would accept it. But
Wow.
nowadays, the newer cameras, it's that's like not even the high standard nowadays. So it's
Oh my gosh.
a
Wow. So do you carry different lenses with you also, or same lens?
It depends on the course. If it's a shorter course, no, I'll try and plan it, and I'll take a lens out. Like I'll specifically plan it. I'm gonna go do a lap with this lens, and then I'm gonna go do a lap with that lens. But out at Yuari, I will carry multiple lenses. So I'll carry my whole backpack with me with multiple lenses.
Okay, and then for like your night shots, do you have to carry some type of lighting or what do you use?
So I specifically purchased my camera based off of being able to capture low light. So I have a Sony A7S III, and that particular camera is kind of known for its low light performance, and so it can do phenomenal things even without even without any lighting. But there also is some times like where I remember a couple years ago out at UARI, I put like a small LED light just to provide some side lighting as people were crossing this creek in the middle of the night, and that does help a lot. But I also sometimes hate to do that because it takes away from the natural environment. So
Okay.
really really trying to avoid at all costs lighting, and luckily my camera does really well with just like a headlamp, for example. The runner's headlamp will be sufficient light.
Okay, that's awesome. That is so cool. This has been awesome, Dan. I love this and I love finding out because I'm a runner and I love going through the photos and the videos, and you go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, man, that was so cool and everything. So, I mean, we appreciate you being out there. How do people find your work?
I definitely do have a YouTube channel. DPage Adventures is my YouTube channel. It's DPAIGE underscore adventures.
Okay.
That is my YouTube channel. I have all my videos that I've done. You can see the ones back to 2016 when I was just starting off and was pretty horrible. But with that being said, this year I kind of started, I don't want to say I started to get serious, but I kind of really trying to try to treat every single race as if I was the race director, or if I was the runner or crew or volunteer. And so I started a name for my film business, and that's basically Front Page Productions. And obviously my
Okay.
name, it's kind of a play on my last name of Page,
Yep.
PAIGE. Eventually, I do plan to get a website, but for right now, best bet is just on my YouTube channel.
Okay.
You know, DPage Adventures, and all my races will be up on there, and they're all free. And of course, the photos that I take throughout the race are all free too. So.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, Dan, as you know, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultralife. So when you hear Living an Ultralife, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Really, endurance. This is the first thing that pops in my head. Just being able to kind of just deal with the different challenges that you're gonna just like we talked about problem solving, dealing with the different challenges you're gonna approach in life, and then adjusting and moving on and basically being successful. You know, you're basically just moving on to that next challenge, you know.
That is awesome. Dan, it has been so good spending some time with you, and I really appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your day, man.
Thank you very much for this opportunity, Michael. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultralife.